And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, I don't know if in your advanced studies you studied forensics, David, but I guess we have to try to attempt to figure out what happened and why it happened and where do we go from here in terms of the just concluded election? An election in which all the votes aren't counted yet. We're talking many days after the actual voting ended. But actually, the voting in some places didn't end until Friday night because ballots received up until Friday night in some states are counted.
Right, postmarked correctly.
Yeah. So it seems as if the overall conclusion is that it wasn't that so much that Trump won the election as it is that Harris lost the election, because at this point it seems that there's 13 million votes that Biden had in 2020 that Harris did not have in 2024.
Yeah, I believe I said previously that the over-under was going to be 74 million for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Between 2016 and 2020, he increased his vote by 13 million from 61 to 74. This time, he doesn't appear to have increased his vote significantly. He'll come in probably around 74, 75 million. The big difference is that the Democrats went from 64 million to 81 million and back to about 68 or 69 million. Of course, the mix isn't entirely the same.
No, but the main thing is that many million people didn't vote Democrat. They didn't vote Republican, but they didn't vote Democrat. They didn't die. They just didn't vote.
We were told and we were seeing great enthusiasm in this election. And indeed, on election day, at least here in Lackawanna County, we had an increase in the voter turnout. It was like 77%, which was bigger than even 2016, which was at 70%. So somewhere along the line, a lot of votes dropped out of the system. Despite that, and they didn't drop out for Trump. They dropped out for, as you said, for the Democrats.
And we had the same thing in Susquehanna County. I'll use that as a marker for the rural counties. In 2020, we had 21,000 ballots cast, and in 2024, that increased by nearly 4%, 3.9%. We had 22,287. That doesn't sound like a lot of people, but that's not the point. The point is the proportion.
Right.
It's a nearly 4% increase in the number of ballots cast as a proportion of the registered voters.
Yeah. Well, one place they didn't seem to increase was Philadelphia, even though
that's the key to the whole Democratic vote.
The early voting, and we were told that during the day that they hadn't seen lines like this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when it turned out, they were short, a good number of votes. I was discussing this with some people, and they said one of the problems was in Philly, there had been a prosecution of the union leader, John Dougherty, Johnny Doc, and the union there was the main organizer of the Democratic Party. And when he got prosecuted and convicted, his team sort of dropped away from their what they were doing in terms of getting the vote out. And the Harris team, kind of stayed away from them. You know, Philly is organized like no other place. And you have precinct captains and you have district captains and what have you, and you have a thing called walking around money, where people are given cash to kind of spend to encourage them to get their voters out. And that, I was told, didn't occur down in Philly.
Well, if the Democratic, when I read, people said, well, the state committee, they were nowhere to be seen in an effective way throughout the state, throughout the election.
That's what I heard. That's right.
But the Philly committee was doing great. But now you're saying that the Philly committee didn't do great.
Well, the Philly committee is not the union. Okay. They're a little different.
No, I understand that. But they know about the union. I mean, the union effort is key to the committee.
Yeah. And it just didn't happen there. But we can't overlook the fact that in Pennsylvania and in virtually everywhere else, despite efforts to continue the shift towards Democrats that had occurred in 2022, that it didn't occur, that the shift almost everywhere else was towards Republicans. People voted more Republican than Democratic. And the question going forward is going to be, was this just a temporary thing because of Trump? I've always maintained he's kind of sui generis. Or is this going to be something that has more permanence to it? We're not going to know. We're not going to know until another election cycle takes place or another couple cycles take place. And it's really going to be interesting as to what types of organization gets kept and what gets discarded. The Harris people were relying on a ground game. They had people out in the field here in Lackawanna County constantly. They were making phone calls. And the same thing with the Cartwright people. And, Susan Wilde losing the race and Scott Perry managing to eke out a win might be the difference in whether the House of Representatives is Republican or Democratic. It's a big loss, not just for Cartwright. It's a big loss for the area. He's on the Appropriations Committee, and he brought a lot of things to this area. And I don't think that was well explained in the campaign. He talked about things that he did, but he didn't explain how he was able to do it because he's on Appropriations. That's part of that, and looks like we're going to be losing our senator, Bob Casey, mm-hmm. Scranton, losing the Hill section of Scranton. It's AP has called it; others have not. There's still outstanding votes, but the numbers don't look good on that, and that's a lot of clout to lose, a hometown senator and a hometown Appropriations Committee. He would be a chairman of one of the subcommittees if the Democrats got control. He'd be the ranking member otherwise. But he was able to get a lot done either way.
I want to tell you something that's, to me, an interesting factoid based on my county. We have a state representative named Fritz. Fritz is a dyed-in-the-wool Trumpist. He's against abortion rights. He's against public education. He's a yes guy. He's a thorough reactionary. The Democrats put up no opposition to Fritz. All right? He ran unopposed. Yeah. Now, in the county, Trump polled just under 16,000 votes in this election, an increase of 7% from what he got in the last time he ran. That's a big increase, right?
That's a significant increase.
Yeah, 52. That's 15,000. Fritz got 19,000. He outpolled Trump. Now, if you add up all the ballots that were cast in the election, it means, I'll spare you all the arithmetic, what it comes down to is there have to have been 2,775 Democrats who voted for this dyed-in-the-wool Trumpist, Fritz. Now, how is it possible in this hard-fought election that 2,775 Democrats voted for this guy, Fritz, when the Harris vote was only 6,000, under 6,000, 5,998. In other words, you got nearly 50% of the Democrats who voted for Fritz.
Well,
how's that possible if the Democrats locally did anything to educate the electorate?
Well, the one thing they didn't do was have a candidate. So when people went in to mark their ballots, they only saw one person. And so their option was either to vote for him or not vote for anybody.
So why didn't they not vote for anybody?
Well, you know, there's a certain amount of people said, well, what's the difference?
Well, look at how many Democrats. Well, it could have been even more Democrats. I mean, I'm assuming that all the Greens, all the Libertarians, and all the people who didn't vote for president all voted for Fritz, which means fewer Democrats voted for Fritz. But if the Greens didn't vote for Fritz, if they were smart enough not to do that, even more Democrats voted for Fritz than the number that I gave you, 2,700 some odd.
Well, that's what happens when you don't have a candidate.
Well, it's not just a candidate. It has to be that's what happens when the people who vote for you don't grasp what it is you're standing for and think that it doesn't matter.
But if you don't have a candidate to say that,
yeah,
you know, that's what
But why don't you have a candidate? What stops you from having a candidate? Well, you could put up anybody.
It's sort of like learned helplessness. They know it's futile, but they, who's going to be the next sacrificial lamb here?
But you're not a sacrificial lamb. You're not being executed. You're going to lose. All right. Listen, there's a congressional candidate for the Democrats. She loses. She lost the last time. She lost this time. She went into it knowing she was going to lose. I think she must have known that. And but whether or not she knew it, she ran the race. And point of fact, she did better this time than she did last time.
Did she really?
Yeah, absolutely. She increased her votes by 20%. She got 20% more votes this time than she got last time.
What?
Yeah, she still lost by a lot. The winning margin was 73%. I'm sorry, the winning margin was 47%. She got shellacked. All right. But she ran.
Right.
You can always convince somebody to run, you know, if you don't say, well, you got to raise all the money, you help them run.
Yeah.
That's a failure of the party. That's a failure of strategic thinking.
Yes.
And that's not just the local party. You can't put that all on the local party. The state party should be overlooking all this.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. But the state party's really had nothing, you know. And I was told here in Lackawanna County they got no financial help from the state party. There were pockets of people.
When did you get lawn signs?
Late.
By the time the people here got lawn signs, they were already afraid to put them out on their lawns.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you were in a forest of Trump signs.
Yeah. Now, the area that we live in did well for the Democrats because they've been organized now for a couple of campaigns, and they work at it. They go out, and they knock on doors, and they ask people if they want signs. My wife did some of that. You saw a lot of that, but it just, in this election, it just wasn't going to happen, no matter what. And, as I said, it's going to have, there's going to have to be some wholesale changes. Now, I know that the county commissioners in Lackawanna County are very dissatisfied with the county chairman, who was nowhere to be found in this election, wasn't doing anything. And there were pretty obvious things. A week before the election, where people could go into the voter registration office and vote immediately, or they could drop off ballots at the county building, the Republicans had a booth set up right outside the county building. They were signing up people to register up until the date that they couldn't anymore. And they were getting people to fill in write-in ballots or to go and vote for write-in ballots. They couldn't fill them in. They had to go up. I was told by a source from inside the county, that that effort, in just the few days they were out there, the week before they shut Friday before the was the last day that you could go up and vote directly there, they got 1,600 votes that way. That they had 1,600 people that they escorted personally up to the voter registration, the Republican desk. I took pictures of what they had. They had donuts outside. They, you know, they had people dressed up that would attract people. The Democrats had nothing. My source said, well, why don't we go down and see what happens if you told them that you were going to vote Democratic and see if they do the same thing for you? And no one wanted to even bother to do that. You know, you're not even trying.
Yeah, you're not even trying.
Never trying. And, you know, that's the same thing I kept getting. And I've told our audience this, you know, in Luzerne County. When I say, what are you doing? You know, I've repeated the story about my wife and I going to the home show and only seeing a Republican booth there. And the Democrats always making excuses for not doing anything like that. By the way, Luzerne County, Donald Trump won by 31,000 votes.
God.
You want to know why Matt Cartwright lost? He lost it in Luzerne County because a lot of those voters came out and the voters have become more tribal. They're voting right down the line. It probably contributed a lot to Bobby Casey's loss. That county should be 25 to 30,000 votes in favor of the Democrats. I mean, you have a swing of 50 or 60,000 votes there.
Wow. Well,
and that's nothing new. We've seen that coming for years. Now, it was interesting that the two of the state House reps from Luzerne County that Jeffrey Yaz targeted the whole time, Jim Haddock. Haddock worked really hard. He had a lot of ads. He actually had an ad where Josh Shapiro appeared for him, and he won fairly easily. Eddie Paschinski was the other one, and he really didn't have much of a name opponent. Eddie won by about 1,800, 2,000 votes. But still, they were able to win because they worked at it. And they were in Democratic. Well, Haddock's district is Democratic, but it's not a real big Democratic leaning district. Eddie's got more of the Democratic vote type of district, but still, we see that. And then, you know, the state, everybody that won, I think, in the state won because of individual efforts, not because of the party. And look at the party, they lost all three row offices. The last election cycle, they lost two of them, the treasurer and the auditor general. This time they lost the attorney general, which is a very important place to be because he's going to decide who he's going to investigate and what things he's going to bring to the public's attention type of stuff. And, you know, this was a Jeffrey Yaz vote there. He's a Jeffrey Yaz candidate. So that was in Pennsylvania. And now there's, you know, the speculation is going to continue as to who's going to, you know, who's going to run next time. You know, the Dems have 6 years on the Senate.
The question is not so much who's going to run next time, but what are they going to run on? How are they going to respond?
Well, and that's, I still think that's going to have, take some sorting out. To figure that out.
Well, all the commentators.
But the thing is, but here's the thing, and we've talked about this before. The Republicans are going to go back, and you know, they've already started. Next week, they're working on their messaging, their campaign, their organization, everything they're going to do. And the Democrats are going to sit back and wait till the year, till the year before the election to aim only at the election, instead of aiming at the issues.
That's the key. I think you put it on your finger on the button right there.
Right.
The Democrats can't figure out at least this leadership in the Democrats can't figure out anything other than election cycle to election cycle, which means one year at a time, 1.5 years at a time. That's it.
Yeah.
The Republicans have a 900-page action plan over a 10-year period.
Yeah. Yes. And I actually heard, I almost fell out of my seat watching one of the commentators on CNN. I'm trying to remember what her name was, but she actually went back and said, you know, this traces back to Howard Dean when he wanted to have a 50-state strategy, and the Obama people got rid of him and got rid of that strategy, basically. She said, this is what Howard Dean wanted to do. He wanted to go out and talk to people, meet people where they were at, and, you know, not forget about them or not ignore them. And the Democrats, you know, starting in 2010, have ignored that. They got crushed in 2010. They lost again in 2016, and they're still not fully embracing that. You know, we heard things about, well, with Fetterman, every county, every vote. And they were supposedly doing that this year, but it, you know, and you can't let 1 year discourage you. You have to keep at it over and over and over again. That's the thing. You have to be persistent in it.
Not only was the Democratic State Committee not in every county and with every vote, they were in no counties, as far as I could see. There's a rural caucus in the Democratic Party. I don't think any executive committee member of any rural party knows a single thing about the activities of that group. I don't think it has any activities. None whatsoever. None. When our county state rep goes to the meeting, she always goes to the meetings of the rural caucus. She never has anything to report. As far as Scranton is concerned, I spoke to somebody who was in touch with the campaign headquarters. They told me that the campaign headquarters for the state regarded a visit to Scranton as a visit to a rural county. If you can't tell the difference between Scranton and a rural county, you shouldn't be in politics. You should be an apprentice somewhere.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I know the state reps had an office set up where they were working out of, but they only had a couple of volunteers, and the guy in there was crying. He said, we have no money to work with. We have nothing.
I think that if you canvass the relevant people in the African-American community and in the Latino community, you'd have discovered the exact same thing. Not the state committee nor the Harris campaign knew who to talk to in those communities or what the political breakdown, what the groups were. They just were without any useful, actionable intelligence, and they didn't really do anything. They didn't direct the money. She had $1 billion that she raised. And, you know, a lot of TV companies made a lot of money. But I don't know that any of it was spent in a really targeted, useful direction. But to me, that's not even the main point. That's an organizational point. The main point to me is what every commentator has commented on, which is that the Democrats as an organization don't know how to confront the MAGA populism. And I think that's true. And I think that doesn't start with Obama. That starts with Clinton.
No.
That's the legacy of the neoliberal Democratic Party agenda, which is a disaster for working people and is obviously rejected by working people, even if they don't go to political science classes.
Well, I think it even starts beyond that. I think it starts with Carter Reagan.
All right.
They didn't know how to do that. And then, of course, last week I mentioned that Reagan was really the final victory of Goldwater.
Going
back to the 60s.
Yes.
On this stuff. But, there was a lot that they just they haven't seemed to understand.
And I think that the people that they're pointing to, who they say that's who we'll learn from, and they're pointing to people who basically are GOP light Democrats, and they say, well, they're the ones who know how to talk to the working class. No, they're not. They're not the ones who know how to talk to the working class. If you move in that direction, you're fascism light, You're not what is required. You're not the alternative. You might win an election, but you're winning the election because people like your candidate's particular way of putting forth a fascist agenda. They're not putting forth a pro-working class agenda.
Well, they are doing, I mean, they are passing laws or doing things that are pro-working class, but they don't seem to be getting credit for it because
After World War II and up until the 1960s, the Dutch medical system was a marvel throughout Europe. And the Dutch medical system was installed by the Nazis. That's what they lived off of. Why? Because the Nazis had to produce something that the working class could say was a tangible benefit. Otherwise, it was just war and desolation and devastation. And they did produce certain things. There's always things that you can bribe people with. And what the Nazis bribed people with was a medical system that worked. Fine. Fantastic. The medical system didn't create opposition to fascism. That required World War II. There's no doubt that the Trump people will do something that will benefit some group of workers, and they'll point to it and say, "See."
Right.
Just like there is a group of black politicians that are in office, and liberals can point to it and say, "See," and conservatives will say, "That means that we've passed beyond. We're into a colorblind society. Right. We've passed beyond racism." Bullshit. What it means is you figured out a way to bribe a couple of black people or a couple of Hispanic people. You haven't changed the structure of your racist society.
Well, I think that there's a couple of you mentioned structure. I think that there's a couple of structural things that really have had long-term effects. Number one is the gap in incomes and wealth that has grown tremendously. What was it in the days after the election that the 10 richest people in America increased their wealth by $64 billion?
1% of the American people have the same amount of wealth as 90% of the American people.
And we have that, but that's a consequence of policies.
That's right.
The other thing, though,
Bernie points out that wage workers haven't had an actual wage increase in 50 years.
Yes. The social thing that I've always thought was, and I understand why it happened, but I think was a big mistake, was when Richard Nixon did away with the draft. And we have a very good professional army. However, we don't have the mingling in the army that we used to have when there was a draft. But I don't think that you need to reinstate it purely as a draft. I think what you have is government service, that you can do civilian things rather than military things. But you have people who are going to have to, you know, be forced to get together instead of just living the way that we do with in isolation for one another.
Well, now you're raising an across-the-board sociological question, which in the next 20 seconds we do not have time to explore. So let's lay this aside and get to it next week, because we've just started an important conversation.
Yeah, and who knows? You know, and you do need to have a conversation, but you do need to have organization and will to carry it out.
Exactly.
And leadership. And right now, the Democrats are leaderless.
So the question we can tackle next week is, who's on first? Who's in the bullpen? Who's on the bench? What's happening? Right?
Yeah. What's on second?
What's on second, yeah. All right. See you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.